Good evening, everyone. Nice to see everybody out. A lot of bright, sunshine, smiley faces. The only thing is, you're not all yellow. A little confusing for me, but that's okay. Mark's going to bring a lesson tonight. I should have this memorized, but I don't. Mark's currently the full-time minister at Norville Park. He was raised in Fairmont, West Virginia. He's been in the ministry for almost 30 years with churches in Ohio, West Virginia, and Kentucky. While being a full-time minister, he also served as an adjutant Bible instructor at the former Ohio Valley College for 13 years. During that time, he also worked at the Ohio Valley Christian Youth Camp, good old Herb Camp Provider, and currently works with the West Virginia Christian Youth Camp in various roles. He's been married 26 years to the former Laura Keplinger. They have two daughters, Brianna and Samantha. Any announcements or anything that might need be said? This is something that's gonna, I seen a sign today and it's really stuck with me and I've chuckled about it off and on all day. Next month, this is the difference between animals and human beings. Animals never let a dummy run the pack. Next month, we're gonna have to see which dummy we vote for. But that's just me.
Good to see everyone tonight. If you will, turn your song books 290. We'll sing the first and last verse.
Earthly wealth and fame. Anywhere.
prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to come together, sing these songs of praise to you, and study your word. God, we are so thankful to have Mark come be our speaker during the series of lessons, and the time that he's put into these lessons. Please help us to be ready to take the lesson, apply it to our lives, and become better Christians, that we grow as Christians, help our community grow in you, Christ, that we help the church grow. God, all these things we ask you is in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated.
Today's scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 3, verse 8. And that in the Pew Bible is 1344, 1344. Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance.
Thanks, Tyler. Please mark your psalm books to 596. It will be our invitation song, and please turn to 247. 247, please.
I want to be a soul winner for Jesus every day. He does so much for me. I want to be the law center to lead his every way and be from bondage free. A soul winner for Jesus. A soul winner for Jesus. Oh, let me be each day. A soul winner for Jesus. A soul winner for Jesus. He's done so much for me. I want to be a soul winner and bring the lost to Christ, that they his grace may know. I want to live for Christ ever and do his blessed will, because he loves me so.
Some of you have been here since Sunday. I don't know when you went home, but you've been here the whole entire time. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate those who are visiting. And I appreciate Norval Park. Some of our members and a couple of our elders are here tonight. Appreciate them. They get to hear me all the time. And so they're not fed up with me yet, I guess. But glad they're here. Glad you're here. Appreciate the elders for inviting me. I've enjoyed my time here, and I hope that it's been a blessing to you, encouragement, and encourage you to keep up the faith. And we're going to talk about that tonight, keeping some things that we need to keep in keeping the faith. And so before we get into our lesson, let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we ask your blessing upon this last night of our meeting here. We thank you for the New Lex congregation, for their vision, for their thoughtfulness, for their desires to seek you and seek the truth and share that truth in the world that we live in. And Father, we pray for the congregations that are represented tonight. We thank you for their encouragement and fellowship. And Father, we do pray that you be with this area, that even though we might be some distance apart, that we are brought together in the name of Christ. And Father, there are many things that are trying to pull our attention away, and we pray that we can find that unity in the bond of and spirit of Jesus, and that we can be able to be a light. And Father, as we separate here in a few moments and go to our homes, the homes congregations, we pray that we continue to carry the torch of your gospel into all the world and make a difference. Father, I pray again this congregation, I lift them up to you. Help them to keep going and keep being faithful. Help them to reach out and seek the lost and make a difference in this community for the cause of Christ. We thank you for his death, burial, and resurrection. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Being a preacher, it's been common for me to move. I think Laura and I, we've moved our family somewhere around 8 or 9 times. I was trying to count all that up and preparing this lesson, and I believe that we've worked for 6 or 7 different congregations. But with that said, sometimes we go to a place and we end up moving in that area. So we've moved a lot. She actually moved a lot more than I did growing up. I kind of only moved about 3 or 4 times. But, you know, if you've ever moved, you know that there is a ritual you go through. This is a picture, if you see on the screen, of our last move. This is us packing things up. And there's a ritual you go through. Do you keep this, discard that, throw away that? You know, there's some things that are around the house we should have thrown away years ago. And yet, for some reason, we wait until it's time to move. There's some things that we just can't move. It's not that we don't want it, don't maybe even need it, but we just can't move it. There's some of those types of things. But if you ever moved, you understand there is that ritual you go through. Do we keep this? Do we not keep that? And go through that process. You know, there are some things that we need to keep in regards to Christ. What's that? Oh, you got to turn it on. Okay. Maybe I hit it. I'm sorry. Thank you. You got to keep the mic on. That's another thing you got to keep. That's not in my notes, but there's some things to keep. I'm giving you a sheet of paper tonight because there are 12 things that it's not an exhaustive list, but I do believe there are 12 things that we need to keep that are vital. And in some ways, this kind of sums up and some of the lessons we've already looked at these past couple days. And if you've not been here and this is your first one, that's okay, because this will be a great information for you. Some of you who've been here from the beginning, some of these things might be a review. But I encourage you to take notes and write these down, because if your brain's like mine, it doesn't remember everything. And so I've got this list that I want to look at tonight of 12 things we need to keep. You know, as we're going our journey to heaven, there are some things to keep. Much like when we move from one place to another place, there are some things we keep. But as we're journeying towards heaven, there are some things we need to keep in order to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Well, the Bible talks about some things we need to keep. And so there's all kinds of things to keep. We can kind of think about keeping favor with the Lord, keep faithful. Yes, that's true. But there are so many things as we move from this place, this earth, to our heaven abode, there are some things to keep. There's two main Greek words when it comes to the word keep in the New Testament. Both mean more than just obey. The meaning is definitely included in obeying, but it's so much more. It can mean guard and preserve. And so there are some things that we need to obey, preserve, and guard. And I'm using the word keep tonight, and there are 12 of them. I'm going to look at the first 6 real quick here on this screen. Number 1, what do we need to keep? on our journey to heaven, as we are moving towards that goal, we need to keep repenting. This follows our lesson from last night, if you were here. We'll pick it up where we ended last night. But in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 8, appreciate the scripture reading, John the Baptist says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Keeping with repentance. Of course, you remember John the Baptist came in preparing the way for the Lord, and he came with a message of repentance. By the way, when Jesus began his ministry, he began with a message of repentance, and that's how the church began as well. In Acts 2 and 38, when they were pricked to the heart, they were asked, Peter, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This idea of repentance is common in the New Testament. In Acts 26 and verse 20, Paul explained to King Agrippa, declared first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with repentance. You know, when we see this idea of repentance, it's something that's continuous. Yes, when I become a Christian, I must repent, turn my back on the old way of sin, and go towards the direction of God, go in a new direction, that spiritual direction, that good direction. But we also see that it needs to be continued. We need to keep repenting. God looks beyond just our outward appearance. We talked about it on Sunday, talking about Tabitha, talking about it's more beauty is more than just what you see. It's how one fears God and does good deeds. Well, the Bible even talks about that bearing fruit, that you identify a tree by its fruit. You identify a follower of God by its fruit as well. And so as we make this journey, we need to keep repenting. I like a Jewish proverb that states, repent one day before you die. The point is, do you know when you're going to die? And the answer is no. And so you need to keep repenting. The Bible's been telling us all along that we need to show, bear fruit, deeds of repentance. Number one, on our journey to heaven, keep repenting. Number two, keep Christ's word. Along with repenting, how do we know how to repent? Well, we got to keep Christ's word. We got to be studying God's word. In John chapter 8, verse 51, notice what Jesus says. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Isn't that a wonderful promise? And it's true. Jesus reminds us that if we keep his word, you'll never see death. Now, I don't believe in once saved, always saved. The Bible doesn't teach us that. But the Bible does teach us that if we continue in his word, abiding in his word, continue believing, continue to connect to God and fellowship with one another through Christ and in Christ, we will never see death. Remember, the word keep also remembers is just not obey, but to guard, to persevere, to protect. And so when we think about this, we've got to guard the word of God in our life. Jesus wants to keep us to keep that word. He wants us to keep hearing it, keep obeying it, doing what you're doing tonight. Praise God for you being here. You could have done 100 other things, a million other things, but you chose to be here studying God's word. You are to be commended. That's a part of doing what Jesus tells us to do, keeping in Christ's word. But it's not just this one time event. It's got to be continuous. I was having a conversation earlier with Jim talking about why do we need to come to church? Well, I need to be here. I need to be here. You know, it's like a doctor tells you, you need to eat healthier. You ever get the doctor tells you, doctor told me that. You know, they need to eat healthier. You need to, you know, watch your weight. You need to do some of these things. So I go home and I have a very healthy meal that night. Thanks to my wife, she got wind of that and she's like, you're going to eat better. And so and I did what the doctor asked me. So then the next morning I get up and I can eat my donuts and my, right? Is that how that works? That might be how it works. But is that what the doctor's talking about? Of course not. I got to keep in that diet. I got to keep in that exercise to reap the benefits. And that is the same way with keeping in Christ, keeping in His Word. I've got to keep repenting. I got to keep obeying. Yes, it might get challenging. Yes, I might stumble, but I got to get back and keep on keeping in Christ's Word. And that's why we need to study. And that's why Bible class is so important. And that's why events like this, this gospel meeting, is so essential. Yes, it's hopefully reaching out to the community, but it's also building our faith. And so we need to keep Christ's words in our heart, in our mind, in our life. I want to see in heaven. I want to see in heaven. In order for that to happen, we've got to keep Christ's word. But there's also number three, something else. The Bible is very clear that, yes, there's got to be some good being put in our life. Christ's word, the truth, got to be put in our life. But I got to keep away from some things. I got to keep away from the evil one. Notice in John chapter 17 and verse 15, Jesus is praying. Just think about that scene for a moment. Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And as he is praying, we see that he says this prayer. This is not the whole prayer. I encourage you to go back and read in context that prayer. But notice this, what he says in one aspect of that prayer. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. He's telling and saying, praying that Satan will not take away the ones he's praying for. This is the one thing Jesus prayed for before he went to the cross, that God would help keep the evil one, Satan, away from his disciples. How many of us pray that? How many of us pray that for our loved ones? Boy, I don't have to tell you, Satan's got a hold in our world. Satan's got a foothold in our world. And the one thing that Jesus tells us, models to us, and shows us to do is pray to keep the evil one away from our loved ones. Church, I challenge you to be praying for that prayer. If we are on this journey to heaven, we've got to keep away from Satan. We've got to keep away from the evil one. He hates the church. He hates you. He hates everything that's around God and submitted to God and is of God. He is the greatest enemy that the church has. And we need prayer. We need to pray to God that he will not harm us. And you know what? The Bible is so wonderful. God's wisdom tells us how we can resist him. Notice in James chapter 4, verse 7. James, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We need prayer. We need to pray, but we also need to submit to God, keeping in God, Christ's word, and the devil will resist us. And we need to resist him, and he will flee from you. Satan is going to try to win us back. He's going to try to pull us back into his kingdom. But the Bible has a plan. God has a way that for us not to go back to the evil one. We need to submit to God, continue to submit to him, obey him, love him, resist Satan, keep away from him, and be able to continue to follow Christ. Number four. Keep standing firm. Keep standing firm. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says it this way. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. In the context, Paul is talking about those Judaizers, those individuals who are trying to pull Christians back into Judaism. And he is reminding them, hey, church, Christ died for you. And he freed us from our sins. Keep standing firm in that belief. Keep standing firm in your faith. Keep standing firm in your conviction. Paul is warning the Galatians to hold their ground. Keep standing firm. Don't allow the Judaizers, the false teachers, to get them to return back to the old way of life, the law of Moses. We too must stand firm. There's a lot of things pulling us. There's a lot of temptations and trials. Our society is strange. I often compare our society that we Christians find ourselves in into much like Daniel. You know, when Daniel and the children of Israel were taken to Babylon, that had to be very strange. Different language, different religion. It was strange. We're finding ourselves in a strange land. It's not just the language. There's maybe co-workers and people at the store. People speak different languages. It's not just the language is changing. Morals are changing. Religion's changing. We're living in sometimes a hostile area towards the faith. Stand firm. Don't give in. Don't give up. We must stand firm in our faith. Now is not the time to quit. Now is not to be persuaded by the false teachers. Yeah, the false teachers we have aren't probably the same that the Galatians had, but there are false teachers in our world. Stand firm. We must stand for truth. Stand on the word of God, not waver. And so if I'm on my journey to heaven, I need to keep standing firm in the faith. Number five. Keep seeking the things above. And it goes together. If I'm going to stand firm, I've got to have my focus on heaven. Notice Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. What he is referring to is baptism. You don't have to take my word for it. Look at Colossians 2 and verse 12. In Colossians 2 and verse 12, he talks about that when we were buried with Christ, God was working in our baptism. We were raised up in Christ. And so since we've been raised up, therefore, keep seeking the things above. See, when we are raised up in our baptism, it is a new beginning. It's a new birth. And when we become Christians, what are we to do? We need to keep following Christ. We need to focus. And Colossians is written to Christians and reminding them, this is what we do now that we're a Christian. We keep seeking Christ. We keep seeking heavenly things. When we obeyed the gospel, we made a commitment to continue to keep seeking those spiritual things. Yes, it involves Bible study. Yes, it involves worship. Yes, these things that we have already talked about, keeping in Christ's word. Yes, every bit of it. But too many times, people fall out of love with Christ. They don't keep on keeping on. I hear that a lot with couples. Sometimes I encounter couples who are talking about divorce or having marital problems. And one of the things I hear, and maybe you've heard it too, well, preacher, we just fell out of love. What do you mean you fell out of love? Well, she's changed or he's changed, and we don't do the things together, and we've gotten older, and we just fell out of love. I don't know really if people fall in love or out of love, but I do know this, by working with people and talking with people and studying the scriptures, oftentimes people stop doing the loving things that brought them together. You remember when you all started dating, those who are married? You remember the loving things you did? You wrote kind notes maybe. Maybe you bought flowers or candies or you went special places. And every moment you were thinking of that dear loved one. You were thinking and then you got to thinking so much about, you decided to spend the rest of your life. But somewhere along the way, you stop buying those flowers and those candies and stealing away to go and be alone together and be kind to each other, and you stop doing those loving things. You know, very similar things happen with our faith. You remember when you became a Christian? You were studying the Bible. You were gathering probably with other Christians, and you were in fellowship, and things were good. You were, maybe we might say, a spiritual high. Things were really good. What happened? When you say, preacher, well, I'm not reading the Bible very much, and I haven't really met with Christians. In fact, I try to, if I show up to church, I try to get out here as quick as possible. What's the problem? We're falling out of love with Christ. We need to keep seeking the things above. Those things that brought us to Christ, we need to keep doing. We need to keep fellowshipping and studying and following in love all over again with Christ. Set your mind on heavenly things. Keep doing the loving things that brought you to Christ. Number six, keep praying. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10, notice what it reads. As we keep praying most earnestly night and day that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith. Paul longed to be with the Thessalonians. And he said, we keep praying. He wanted to see them, and he wanted to see them because there were some things that they needed to be taught and continue to be taught. He kept praying. We see that Paul was concerned about the Thessalonians. And so much we see down in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17 that he taught them to continue to pray. Not only was he praying, but he encouraged them to continue to pray. I've already mentioned prayer already in this list. But I want to focus on it here for a moment and think about how important prayer is. It's our communication with God. It's our direct line to God, the creator of the universe, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. We can talk to him. Prayer is more than just something that we do in emergency. You know, that's oftentimes how prayer is often viewed. You've heard that. Maybe you said this. You have a dear loved one. They've been to the doctor and they've got bad news. They went through all the treatment, took all the medicine. And you come home and I get the call, preacher, they've done everything they can do. All we can do now is pray. You've heard that? Church, the thing we do is pray. Prayer is not an emergency tire that we just pull out when our tire is flat. Yes, I hope that you have emergency, you are praying. But the Bible reminds us we continue to pray. We are to continually to keep praying. One of the greatest things, resources we have, one of the greatest connections God we have is prayer. Are you praying? There's a preacher by the name of Keith Parker, member of the church, and he said this: have you memorized God's phone number? Did you know God had a phone number? It's 333. It comes from Jeremiah 33, verse 3. God said, call to me and I will answer. Prayer is calling up God and talking to him. God has a phone number, 333. Have you been dialing God lately? Are you continually dialing God? Are you praying? Now, understand, when you talk to God, when you pray to God, sometimes he's going to say no. And sometimes he's going to say yes. Sometimes he's going to say maybe later. But the Bible reminds us, keep praying. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. James 5 and verse 16. There is power in prayer because we have a powerful God. And as our journey to heaven, there are some things we need to keep. We need to keep praying. Now is not the time to stop praying. I know the world is discouraging. I know the jobs are challenging. I know the kids can be, we wrestle with them sometimes. Pray for them. Pray for our co-workers. Pray. The prayer of a righteous person has great power. There is just some things that will not happen unless we pray. Have you been calling up God? Jeremiah 33, verse 3. God will answer if we call. Number 7. Keep unstained by the world. In James chapter 1, verse 27, we know this verse, but have we often looked at the last part of the verse? Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. You know, many congregations I've worked with, I told you I worked with about 6 or 7 congregations so far in my 30 years, and almost all of those congregations did a very good job of taking care of widows and orphans. We might have been able to do some better things, but we've always done a fairly good job. But you know, the one verse, the part of that verse we often overlook is keeping ourselves unstained, unpolluted, unspotted from the world. The Bible reminds us that we need to keep ourselves from wickedness, evil speech. It carries that James will talk about greed and pride and showing favoritism. James will go on and talk about these things that spot us, that pollute us. So as we journey to heaven, keep unstained. But the world's going to try to stain us. The world is going to try to challenge us and pull us in. The Bible reminds us, keep yourself unstained, unspotted, unpolluted by the world. Quite a challenge. We got to live in the world. An illustration I've used oftentimes in my preaching is the idea that the Christians are like a boat in the water. That's one thing, isn't it? You see a boat in the water? What happens when the water gets in the boat? Quite another thing, isn't it? Here, a month or a couple months ago, there was a big yacht over in the Mediterranean Sea. The water got in the boat, and it was tragic. There were a number of people that were killed. That's what happens when water gets in the boat. And so the Bible is reminding us, as we live in this world, don't allow the water to get in the boat. And we can think, figuratively speaking, keep ourselves unstained, unspotted from the world. Number 8, keep sober. Keep sober. 1 Peter 1 and 13 says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in the spirit. Set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The imagery here is the idea in the Middle East, the practice of gathering up your garment, tucking it in, and running, freeing up your legs so you could run to take action. And the idea is prepared the Christian life to prepare to live the Christian life. The Christian life is one to be lived. And it also has the idea of keep sober. And we often think about that with sobriety test. What comes to mind? Those who have indulged, they have become drunk, they're not sober. Maybe it's alcohol, maybe it's drugs of some sort. But the idea is not just, that's not the only thing that dulls our mind. There are things beyond chemicals and substances that dull our mind. Peter is reminding us, avoid the activities that are going to distract you, that are going to slow your mind down, that causes you to have poor judgment. It could be you're a workaholic. I got to be careful here. I like to work. You might be a workaholic, and if you're focusing on your work so much that it becomes tired, where is the spiritual action? Where is the spiritual response? See, sometimes we can work too much. Work is good. I like to work. It's therapeutic. But if I work too much and wear myself out, I don't have time for God. I don't have time for my family. I might need the proper rest and proper eating, these types of things. Sober-minded. It carries the idea of doing things that will distract me from spiritual things. There are so many things that can distract us, that slow our mind down. I don't know what that is in your life. I don't know what that looks like. But there are things that can get in our way. And Peter is reminding us, keep sober. In other words, keep alert. Imagine a soldier at his post. And he's staying up during the night watch, and he falls asleep. What's going to happen? The enemy might come in. It's a dangerous thing. And Peter is reminding us, don't sleep on your job. Christians, keep sober. Number 9, keep your tongue from evil. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3 and verse 10, these words, for whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and let his lips from speaking deceit. I didn't say it. Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said, guard your mouth, guard your tongue, guard your words. Words can be dangerous. We spent a lesson this past couple of days talking about words, how words can be powerful and encouraging and appreciating words, words that pray, but words can be dangerous. And Peter is warning us here about those, how we use our tongue. How many relationships have ended because of careless words? And I'm not just talking about the words out of our mouth. We can type those words too, can't we? We can type it on social media. We can text it. There's all kinds of ways we use our words. James reminds us also of the wisdom of using your tongue in James chapter 3. What we say and what we don't say is important. On our journey to heaven, we've got to build each other up, encourage one another, and use words that will help one another get to heaven. May we strive and think about the words we use. Keep your tongue from evil. Number 10, didn't think I was going to get there, did you? Number 10, keep in love with one another. Keep in love with one another. 1 Peter 4 and verse 8 says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sin. Peter repeats Jesus' words, didn't he? The greatest command, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. The second is love your neighbor as yourself. Just imagine how our world would be different if we loved God and loved our neighbor. They really go together. And Peter's re-emphasizing it here. We know about 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. We are familiar with the love book, 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." On our journey to heaven, we must remember to keep loving one another. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes people aren't very loving. We gotta love them anyway. You know, as I think about it, they weren't very loving to Jesus, were they? They mocked him, spit upon him, cursed him, punched him, laid a crown of thorns on his head. They pierced him, they crucified him. Jesus still loved him. Has anyone ever did that to you? I guess probably not. And it's Jesus who shows us we need to love one another. Love with compassion. Strive to keep loving one another. Number 11, keep rejoicing. 1 Peter 4 and 13 has these words, "But to the degree that you share the suffering of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that the revelation of his glory you may also rejoice and be overjoyed." Someone has said, enjoy the journey. Peter reminds us, keep rejoicing. Rejoicing is not about the external things. It's not about if our life is going just peachy. It might be life is not so peachy. It might be we're dealing with an illness. We might be dealing with some difficulties, difficult relationships. We might be dealing with financial issues. I don't know. There's a number of things. But the Bible reminds us that we can still rejoice despite our circumstance. How I know that? Well, the book of joy, Philippians, is written by the Apostle Paul. He's in prison. I can't think of a more depressed, sorry situation than being in prison. Even today, with some of the advances, with some of the technology, some of the things, prison is way better than it was in the first century, but it's not a walk in the park. It's not a place I want to go to. It's still a horrible place. But prison in Paul's day was probably even worse, and yet he was able to say in Philippians 4 and 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. It wasn't about his circumstances. It was about his position in Christ. He was in Christ, and he understood that he was on his way to heaven, and there was great joy, and there will be even more joy when we get there. Keep rejoicing. Number 12. Mark 13 and verse 33 says, "Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come." As we come to the conclusion of this list of 12 things, all these things help us to this point. Remember, as I began the lesson this evening, we are moving towards heaven. Christianity is going somewhere. In faith, we're going somewhere. We're going to heaven. The faithful are going to heaven. And Jesus reminds us that in order for us to hear those words, "Well done, good, faithful servant," we got to be on guard. Don't fall asleep. Be sober. Keep awake. We don't know when he's coming back. David Lipscomb stated, "Only by a righteous and pure life can one be ready for his coming. We should not only be ready for him, but should love his appearing and desire earnestly the day of his coming." Jesus coming back. We don't know when. We don't know the hour, but we know he's coming back. Be prepared. Be prepared. Keep alert. Keep faithful. Keep all the things we have talked about tonight. Keep on keeping on. Keep going. As we conclude this series of lessons, I hope to give you some encouragement to keep faithful. don't give up. There are so many things that can take our attention. There are so many things that can pull us away. And I hope tonight's lesson has been some encouragement to stay faithful. It's always too soon to quit. Keep going. Keep doing the things we talked about tonight that God asked us to do. I know we won't do them perfectly, but can you try? Put some effort into it. Keep trying. You remember when Jesus is talking in Matthew 25 about his coming back, he gives us three parables. He talks about a man who gave his servants some talents. He talked about some virgins who was given some oil and some who didn't. And then he talks about those sheep and the goat and how they were divided, and talked about those things that they did to the least of these. He did it unto them. Jesus is talking about how we prepare for heaven and keep preparing. We keep alert. We keep doing. We use our gifts, our talents, our abilities. We keep going on and going on. Can I encourage you, church, to keep going on? Don't give up. Don't give out. Don't give way to the things of this world. Christ is coming back. Be ready. Be prepared. So I encourage you to keep on keeping on. Keep going. I appreciate your faith. I appreciate you being here. I appreciate the elders' vision for this gospel meeting. I appreciate those who serve Christ, those preachers, those elders that are here tonight, those godly mothers and fathers and grandparents. Don't give up. Keep on keeping on. It might be here, you're here tonight, and you've not started your journey towards heaven. We want to invite you to begin that journey tonight because we want to see you in heaven. We want to see everyone there. And so the Bible tells us that if you believe Jesus is the Christ, you repent of your sins and put him on in baptism, you can begin that journey. And so tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, we invite you to come. Or maybe you've done that and you need prayers. Maybe you've gone, you drifted. You need to come back. Come now as we stand and sing.
Who at the door is standing, patiently drawing near, entrance within demanding, whose is the voice I hear? Sweetly the tongues are falling, open the door for me.
Good lessons this week, and I told him before service that he could stay the rest of the week if he would. And good to have you all with us. Our visitors, good to see you all. If you will, we'll have one more song, and then we'll have announcements. 437, please.
The things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me.
We'd like to thank everyone for coming tonight, and of course we'd like to thank Mark for fine lessons that he's given us, and for me, it's great to see him and Laura and all of them, because I mean, we did church camp together for a number of years together, and like we was joking, called it Camp Provida. Now we can't call it Camp Provida, now it's Camp Elizabeth, so, but you know, but we still have a lot of memories, and I know that Mark and I do, and all of us that was at camp have a lot of good memories. Let's go to prayer and just give God a thanks. Our Father in heaven, we'd like to thank you for letting us be able to come here tonight and be able to hear a lesson from your word and be able to sing hymns unto you, and especially be with all the sick and the shut-ins, and the list is very long. To be able to, but we want to remember all the ones that's on that list, and especially if anybody's traveling, be with them as they are traveling and being away from us, or so they go back to us safely. Be with us now as we go to exit and go to our separate homes until this next appointed time. All this in Jesus' name, amen.